If you have your Bibles with you, if you want to turn to the book of Matthew for a moment. I want to share something with you before we go in praise and worship. In fact, part of the message today is before praise and worship, and part of it is after praise and worship. Everybody have a poem with you?
Yeah.
All right. But I'm going to share with you something this morning. So we celebrate Palm Sunday, which is the 1 week before the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is a very, very busy week when it comes to the resurrection week, we want to call it. And today, we look at Palm Sunday, and we're looking at Jesus, his entry into Jerusalem. I want to read just a few verses to you. Oh, I didn't say what chapter? I'm sorry. What chapter do you guys want to go to in Matthew? Matthew 21. Oh, you didn't say what verse? You said, okay, I got you. One. And this is Jesus. He's out and he's walking with his disciples. They're following him around. He's been instructing them. They've seen a lot of awesome things taking place. The dead come back to life. Blind men seen all that stuff. And they're headed toward Jerusalem. And when they approached Jerusalem and had come to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says something to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them. Now this took place that what was spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. And the disciples went and did just as Jesus had directed them, and brought the donkey and the colt, and laid on them their garments on which he sat. And most of the multitude spread their garments in the road, and others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them in the road. And the multitudes going before him, and those who followed after, were crying out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! And when he had entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, who is this? And the multitude was saying, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. And then I would like us to look at, I believe it's Mark, where I want to go next. I think it's Mark 11. And Mark says the account is very similar to Matthew. And they approached Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, and he sent two of the disciples. Go into the village opposite to you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there on which no one yet has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone says to you, why are you doing this? You say, the Lord has need of it. And immediately he will send it back here. And they went away and found a colt tied at the door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of the bystanders were saying to them, what are you doing, untying the colt? And they spoke to them just as Jesus had told them, and they gave them permission. And they brought the colt to Jesus and put their garments on it, and he sat upon it. And many spread their garments in the road, and others spread leafy branches which had been cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed after were crying out, Hosanna! Blessed he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming of the kingdom of our father David, as Zion and highest. And he entered Jerusalem and came into the temple, and after looking around, he departed from Bethany with the 12, since it was already late. And we look at the scripture here, we see a couple of things. One, he is coming into Jerusalem, and people are really excited. Man, their king is coming. He has talked about this new kingdom he's going to build. Amen? And they are excited about this because right now they are under Roman rule. They are under a magnitude of a lot of pain, suffering. Romans didn't care at all for the Jewish people. They were under a lot of criticism. They're having a very, very tough time. And they think, man, finally, man, they've seen Jesus go out and raise the dead, heal the sick. Man, the power this guy has, man, wait till he gets inside Rome. Wait till he gets into Jerusalem. He'll take the Roman out. And he'll sit, and they're so excited about that. So excited. It'd be kind of like, it's going to be kind of like Joe. Come here, Joe. Well, I'm going to use Joe a second, okay? Turn around, Joe. Joe is a tyrant. I'm telling you what. He makes you guys work all the time. He takes all your money. All your taxes go to him. Everything that you have, Joe takes it. And you get tired of that after a while, don't you? You get sick and tired of it. And all of a sudden you hear Starkey talking about, man, listen, I'll tell you what. I get this idea, man. I get this idea for a new kingdom. I got this idea, man, a better way of life. I'm telling you what. Love one another. Care for one another. Watch out for one another. And I keep sharing this to you all the time. And if you have something, Judy, share it with me and I'll share it with you. And oh man, you guys say, man, this Starkey's awesome. This Starkey's awesome. And here I am. I'm coming down US 36. I'm headed to Coshocton, right where Joe's at, right in Coshocton where this tyrant is overbearing, where he's taking everything that you have. And I'm coming to Coshocton. You guys are following me. Hey, you wait till Starkey gets down there. You wait till Starkey gets Coshocton. I'm telling you what, we've seen what Starkey can do. We've seen him talk. We know what he's, and I'm coming to Coshocton, and someone goes ahead of me, and they're taunting Joe. Hey man, want some more money? You wait. Starkey's coming. Okay, all excited because boy, I'm gonna bring a new role to Coshocton. And man, you guys are following me, and I'm walking to Coshocton across Three Rivers Bridge, man, you're throwing stuff down. Hey, come Starkey! Get out of the court square there, Joe. Starkey's coming. Excited, very excited. That is what is going on when Jesus is coming into Jerusalem. They are so excited. Man, here he comes. Here comes the King of Kings. Man, here he comes. Watch out, Romans. Finally, we're going to rule, man. Hebrews, yeah. Down with Romans. All excited, thrilled. People are sticking their necks out on the line, probably going, nah, to the guards and stuff in the city. Follow me now, okay? Because they believe Jesus is coming to set his kingdom up now in Jerusalem, okay? And so they think, man, we had enough of this. You know how it is when you got a big buddy butt behind you? You get a little more mouthier, don't you? Who do you think you are, Aaron? Taking my money. Did all this answer, all this stuff, just ready to roll. But what happens? All this excitement. Is that bow down, put the curtain down as he entered Jerusalem. And within four days, the same ones that are praising him are yelling what? Crucify him! Kill him! My land! Get rid of Jesus! Why? Because they were praising him for what they wanted and not for what he brought them. They had a wrong idea. Amen? They had the wrong idea. He spoke plainly, did he not? Of his kingdom to come and the kingdom be within and all this. But they were tunnel vision on what they want. They were thinking about, man, rule here, not in heaven. And man, when he says, hey, give the Caesar what is Caesar. Give the God what is God. Wait a second. What are you talking about? We're getting tired of giving the Caesar. He said, no, give it to him. Remember? Whose face is on that coin? Man, when he starts speaking, they start seeing, man, they get mad. Crucify, get rid of him. And ask ourselves today, we have to make sure that we celebrate Jesus that we're on the right page. Okay, just think about that. It's not what he can do for you, it's what he already done for you. Okay? And sometimes, the same way, people, we witness to people, and we do it meaningfully. Man, give your life to Jesus, Daryl. Give your life to Jesus, and man, life would be awesome. It would be perfect. Man, you're just, well, we mean well, do we not? But as a Christian, is your life perfect? No, I mean, here on earth it's not. We still have the problem, we have the headaches, but I mean, we have a peace and we have a joy in our heart. We have a promise of the kingdom that we entered into, and then we gave our life to Jesus. We enter into the kingdom of God, you know, the kingdom of God within man. But to the world sometimes, they are expecting, man, I went to church Sunday, I went down to the altar, okay, where's my new car? Where's my new house? Where's my wife and my kids at now? You know, and it takes place. Amen. But that's not the reason he came. He came to set us free from our sins. Okay, we were in bondage by sin in our life. Okay, the physical thing's going to pass away sooner or later. We spoke about it earlier. These bodies will pass away sooner or later, but the spirit within us and our soul will live for eternity. Either in heaven or in hell, we celebrate. Man, he has set me free. Jesus came, he died on the cross, he died for my sins. You know, whatever circumstance we're at today, as a Christian, we are born again. We have that promise of everlasting life. Yes. Well, we might have taxes, you know. Taxes might increase next week. You know, if I have a say, I'll vote against more taxes, maybe. I might vote for them. The thing of it is, though, my God will meet my needs through the riches and glory through Jesus Christ. You know, I was going to do a Democrat-Republican type deal here, but I didn't want to get that far involved there, you know. But they thought that Christ was coming in to offset the Roman government, to take it over. And they had a wrong idea in their minds. Some of them still curious as time went on, like, okay, we saw them do all this. Now they're manhandling Jesus. They're beating Jesus. They're plucking his beard out as this week goes on. Yeah, we look into Good Friday. They didn't quite understand yet until the resurrection that Christ came to overcome our sins and set us free from that. Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir.
So this morning as we celebrate, man, Jesus Christ, as we praise and worship him this morning, we get the palms, you know. I just pray that we'll look at our hearts and remember what he has done for us. And we are set free from our sins. We have we know this day is fast approaching. You know, remember the signs I just spoke to you about the earthquakes? That's his second coming. That's when Jesus steps upon the earth. 7 years before that, the church is taken out. Yes. Is there more signs that need to be fulfilled for the church to leave? Amen? Yes. That's how close we are. So with that in mind, what's going to hold us back? Nothing, is it? What's going to stop us from praising the Lord in this house this morning for who he is? Remember last week, the video, we saw all the galaxies and stuff? Man, that's who we come in and worship today. And we are one breath away for being in his presence forever. You talk about a feast. The marriage supper of the Lamb is coming. An awesome time. But we need to be focused on that what we worship him for is what he's done already for us. Reconcile us with the Father. And as born again, he is deserving of our praise and our worship. And just think about that. That would be no disappointment. No disappointment what he's done for us. And when we share, this coming week, as more people will be talking to us as Christians about the Lord, you share what he did. He came and triumphed. He overcame our sin. He died for our sins, set us free from our sins. And that's the greatest, greatest, greatest gift we can receive. Amen? Amen. So when we praise and worship, you want to wave your palms back and forth? You can. I mean, I think it's exciting. Another thing I thought about the scripture there, Jesus, he got on a colt. This colt has never been ridden before. Can you imagine hopping on a donkey that's never been ridden before? Yeah! I mean, let it go. And it didn't. Right there's a little miracle there. But, you know, and what I love about it also, I know, I'm getting you ready. But what I love about it here on the disciple, it says, the second here, right, in verse 6, in Mark 11, 6, it says, and they spoke to them just as Jesus had told them. And they gave them permission. Remember he said, go in and tell them the master needs the use of his coat. Remember what they said? He said to them. And they told him exactly. Now what would they happen to them if he didn't tell them exactly what Jesus said? They walked up and, hey, I'm going to take your goat, or your goat. I'm going to take your donkey. Chances are he'd been arrested, right? And put in jail for stealing a donkey. But as he spoke the words exactly like Christ told him, no fear came. Nothing took place. They got the donkey and went out. And it goes to us again, our voices that we speak, the words that we speak, as we speak exactly what Christ tells us to say, we have nothing to fear, do we? Amen? Nothing to fear at all as we allow his word to come out of our mouth as he spoke. Now when we take his word and we condense it and we think, well, I don't want to really say that. I might offend someone. And when you reduce his word to your words, then we step back into the flesh and you have all kind of problems. You might find yourself, you know, you might have found John in prison, had to go bail him out, get the donkey. But he didn't. The disciples followed exactly what Christ said. Speaking last week about how powerful our words would be, and we only got a couple minutes left, I know, but remember last week when I made people move around? Joe, come here a second. Come here a second, Joe. Now, sit down, Joe. Sit down. You remember that?
Yeah.
See, I'm his pastor. I have the authority over him because he came to me and he sits under me. And so I exercise that authority by speaking out. Joe, come up here. Joe went back down again. I could stand here all day long and look at him, and Joe would have no idea I want him to come up here. In order for him to come up here, I have to speak that word out. And then he would obey me because he falls under my pastorship. Okay? So it shows to us that every word that you speak has power. Amen. It either does things for you or against you. Yeah. There's not really any neutral words out there. You know, some people try to say neutral. Do you believe in Jesus? Well, I don't want to, Jesus says you're either for me or you're against me. Amen? And if you're for him, every word he's ever spoken is for you, okay? Everything he ever put out there is for you 100%. But if you're not, then everything he's spoken is against you. Okay? You know God loves us, right? God is for us. Amen? Amen. God wants us. He brought us into this world. He wants to have fellowship with us. He wants everything but good for us. We are the ones as human beings that reject God. And when we reject God, reject his love, we step into the enemy camp. Now, would you rather be the enemy of God or the friend of God? Amen. I would too, okay? God doesn't force us to be his friend, amen? He doesn't force us to love him. But out of his love, he says, okay, Starkey, this is everything. I made you. You know, he made me. I mean, Adam and Eve started it all, but he made Adam and Eve. You know what I'm saying? I'm here for a reason. And Starkey, this is the reason. This is everything I have for you. Man, this is yours. But Starkey, if you refuse that, you can. I'm not going to force you. But Starkey, this is what's going to happen to you. This is the enemy's camp. This is where the fallen angels are at. So you have a choice, Starkey. You can come and love me like I love you. Or you can reject me and step into the enemy camp and you receive my wrath. Who wants the wrath of God on them? I don't want the wrath of God on me, okay? I want his blessing upon me. I want to be in relationship with God. But the choice that we make in his word, as he sent us his word, that word determines where you're at. If you allow the word of God to come into your life and you follow that word of God through Jesus Christ, man, your things in your life will make sense. You have a hope. But when you reject that, when you reject the word of God and you don't allow it into your life, man, you're stepping onto the wrath of God. He doesn't want that. Sometimes we think, Pastor, I went to church and I do this, I do that. It's good to come to church. It's good to come and work for the Lord. But number one, you have to establish that relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And I beg of you today to check and make sure that you have established that relationship. You know, one thing Jesus tells us is that we acknowledge him before our brothers and sisters. Amen? Yeah. So acknowledge him. So that means what he wants you to do, not to be scared. You know, a little bit ago, he offered people need help and to walk with him, come down. And when you came down, you acknowledge him as Savior and Lord. Amen? You are. Now, you can come to church and not acknowledge him as Savior and Lord. Some people come to church, they're not quite sure yet. You know, God is drawing them. He's drawing you to church. Hear the word of God. You thought, man, is this right? Is this wrong? You're listening. Well, praise God, you're hearing. You're hearing the word of God. Okay? But in order to establish a relationship with God, it's only through Jesus Christ. And if you never establish a relationship, you come to church for 30 years, hear every sermon there is, but you never ever commit, you never stand up and acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, that you want him into your life, you're not born again. It's not the teaching here, it's the Word of God. I don't care where you're at, you know, and this is on the internet. I don't care what church you sat in today. If they tell you anything different, then you need to get the Bible. You need to always read the Bible yourself. But establish a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And many of us today, maybe we've been sitting in church for a while, we've been listening, and you know, man, I want to, but I'm nervous to do that. What would people think? I've been sitting here for 3 years. I was sitting there 3 years before I got baptized. I was too scared to say I wasn't baptized. Okay, oh man, I've been born again for 3 years. If I get baptized, people think, man, what's wrong with him? Don't let Satan ever hold you back. When God moves upon your heart that you need to be baptized, you get baptized. When you know that you have not acknowledged Jesus Christ, you've not accepted him as your Savior and Lord, and you know that you just need to stand up and say, Jesus, I want you to forgive me my sins. Don't let Satan hold you back. Because he's going to hell. He is bound for hell. He wants to take every one of you with him. Yes. If he keep you shut up, man, he'll take you with him. No matter how much you want the desire to be in heaven, without Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and that means following Jesus Christ, yes, being a follower of Christ, you will not make it. And we are so close. This could be my last sermon. You might not be here next. We could be in heaven. Those of us who are following Jesus Christ today. And don't let Satan hold you back. Don't let him keep you sitting in your chair when you know that you come to church. Man, sometimes you may come today and think, man, I hope he gives an altar call today. If you have a desire today to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, don't sit in the chair. Come down the altar right now. Don't ever wait for the preacher. I waited one time. I went to church and at noon service, I was going to give my life to the Lord. I can't wait. That preacher gives an altar call. I'm going down. He didn't give an altar call. I didn't know I could walk down there and say, hey, preacher, praise God I didn't die between the 10 o'clock service and the 6 o'clock service. I went down there and gave my life to Jesus Christ. So I share it with you today that, man, if you want Christ as your Savior and Lord, if you're tired of it, if you've been playing church, and I don't mean by playing church, you've been coming to church, but you've never been committed to the Lord yet, and you know that you know that you know that you need to, let the day be that day. Get yourself out of darkness. Get yourself into the light. Let the Lord Jesus Christ come into your heart before it's too late. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of awesome people in hell. A lot of good people will be in hell because they have not received Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. They have not received forgiveness of their sins. And I'm telling you, the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. I can't pray you in. You can't give enough money to get you in. And you know it right now. You know it right here. Somebody's sitting right now. You know that God is speaking right to you. You think, man, how that preacher know? I don't know who you are. But God does. Yes. God does. Don't let Satan hold you back this morning. Don't let him hold you back. You know you need that commitment. You know you need forgiveness. Don't leave here today without standing in front of the congregation acknowledging Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. You know, throughout the week, last week we looked at the power of words. Now I make Joe, bring my car around, will you? Now he won't do that part. But your words have power. We have to watch what we say at times. Sometimes, God, what's going on here? Pastor, I try to do everything the Lord says to do. Well, also, what are you doing that He says not to do? We can counter-react ourselves, you know. We can do what the Lord says to do, then turn around and do the same thing that He says not to do, you know. I mean, if I had Brother Donnie, he could come down here right now and say, Pastor, will you pray for me? Man, I just pray right now, I got a headache. I can lay hands on him and pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Man, he did what the Lord said to do, right? Yep. Amen. Call upon the elders, right? Yep. Amen. You know that, right? You're sick at home, you call upon the elders. Don't sit there and say, oh, the preacher never come see me. Call me! I'll come running! Amen. I'm the doctor. Jesus Christ still makes house calls, okay? And what James tells us to do, in James chapter 4, I think, he says, man, if you're sick, call upon the elders of church. He'll come anoint your oil and pray. And you'll be healed. Okay? So don't ever say, oh, I don't want to bother pastors. That's what pastors do. And while I'm there, you'll probably feed me some cake or cookies or something. But I'm serious. That's what we need to do. I don't care if you're in Columbus Hospital, Cleveland, the Life Flight to California. Call. Don't let Satan ever shut you up from that. This is our health insurance that God's given us for those of us who believe, those of us who are born again. He didn't tell us to go out there and throw the oil on those who don't believe. Those who believe. Now, we still pray for those who don't believe. Amen? But don't tell us nor the oil. We lay hands. You lay hands on the sick, he says, and they shall recover. So there's a little bit of difference in there. Amen? Yes. Amen. Praise God. Almost lost my train of thought there for a second. Careful. But go back, Don. I'm sorry, Don. I had to pick on you for a second. Come here a second, Don. Let me use 1 second. He's coming down. Boy, he knows it. He's heard it. He said, Pastor, I need prayer. Tell me what it is. I lay hands on the name of Jesus Christ. I pray. Man, woo! Man, fired up. Because, man, his faith and my faith connected. But Donnie, you turn around and walk away, and what do you say?
But,
yeah. Yeah, I hope that worked.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, see? He says to come. Watch what your mouth says, the Bible is talking, okay? He came down, Jesus said to lay hands on him. Yeah. Through faith, right? Having faith. I don't know how it works, but I'm coming down. But praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. My back still hurt. Thank you, God, that healing is coming from my body. Tomorrow morning, I don't call the preacher and say, pray for my back. I call, hey, thank you, Lord, you're going to heal my back. You're healing my back now. It's a prayer of thanksgiving. Understand? A prayer of thanksgiving. The minute you turn around and say, oh, yeah, I hope that worked. Forget it. Forget it. Your mind's got to be set on the Word. Understand that? Has to be set. It's not, oh, man, Pastor, are you trying to brainwash us? No. God is trying to renew your mind. And it sounds really strange to us to think that, man, we receive through His Word that we have it. We want to do something more, don't we? We feel better when we pay for something, you know? We like it when we go to the doctor, we pay the doctor, that way we can complain about the doctor, right? But this is a free gift that he's given his church. The born-again believer, the follower of Jesus, he gave this to us. And this is going to be so much more important in the weeks and months coming our way that you got to get this into your spirit, man. Don't worry about the hospitals. And if they're not here, don't worry about that. We have the Lord watching over us. We get that into the spirit. Renewing our mind. But what we speak, and Donnie walked away, he spoke against it. Boom. Okay. All right, well. You had the last word, didn't you, Donnie? I lay hand in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I know how it worked. Ah. You had your free will. Okay. We got to learn to say, okay. Donnie might say, well, God, I don't know how that works. I don't know how that works, but I'm telling you what. I trust in you. I believe in you. I hear your word. I know that everything you have is for my benefit. Yeah. Satan come to kill, steal, and destroy me. But Jesus come to give me life and give it more abundantly. Okay, God, I hear the word. I see the word here. I'm going to act upon your word. I'm believing it. I'm believing it. I'm believing it. And then what do you do? Stay away from the naysayers. Right. Cut the ties right now for those who are coming into your life today and taking away what Christ is giving you. They're coming in cheering on your ear. They're cheering on your ear. Nah, 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 nah. Get along. Thus says the Lord. Get along. Establish your kingdom of God within you and keep the enemy out. Yes. You're hanging around those that's trying to kill you because they don't know any better. They don't know their words are destroying you. Separate it. Keep these ears open to the word of God. Well, the enemy is coming in and he's wiping you out. Sometimes you think, well, we're just carrying on a conversation. You're not carrying on. You're carrying on a fight, a war. Yes. And God is putting it into this ear, and someone else is coming in this ear and is nullifying what God said because it is bringing you doubt. It's bringing you doubt into your mind, into your spirit. Because Satan will bring back to you, well, Joe, you prayed for that sister and she died, didn't she? He will he not? He'll try to bring every doubt into you. And I told you before, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you why some people die and some people don't. I don't know everybody inside and outside working. I know what the Word of God says. I bring forth the Word. You read the Word. We follow the Word. Let God have His will.
That's right.
But He'll bring into your my brother George there, you know. Praying with him this last week. Man, the doctor apparently gave him some news that he did not want to hear. We didn't want to hear that report. But we're still going to look at the report of what God says. Amen. By my stripes, I bring healing. Amen. Satan come to kill, steal, and destroy. Brother George has been hanging here 5 years. He's supposed to have been gone, right? But he's still with us today. He'll go home when God says it is, not Satan. Not, he'll come in and try to scare you to death. He'll try to keep you in bed. And say, well, wait, well, I feel better. I'll get out of bed and do this. Get up now.
Right.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Get up. Raise up. Walk forward. This might be your last day upon this earth. The rapture could be here. You know, again, we look towards one another. Joe, I might need to come see you today. My back might be hurt. My feet might be killing me, okay? But it might be my last day.
That's right.
I'll come. I'll lay hands on you. I'll pray with you. We might be going up by noon today. But if Satan can get me to shut up, sit in my chair today because my feet hurt, and I don't go and share or witness or pray with someone, man, he just took a soldier of God out. You know, and if you get the bad that you might just kick out of the house, praise God, you got a telephone. Amen?
Amen.
Now he's describing the prince of the airways, but I'm telling you what, Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I'm telling you what, through that phone, you can bring the gospel, you can pray. Hey, Joe, just lay your hand on the phone in a second, brother. We want to pray. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. Man, I tell you what, we got to watch what's coming in our ears, guys. Oh, we have to. And I'm getting so fed up at home anymore. Not my wife. It's the Holy Spirit doing it. I can't watch hardly nothing on TV anymore.
Right.
Even the stuff I watched for years, he's bringing out to me, man, look at this. You've seen the undertones.
Yes.
Man, get away. Oh, I don't want it. Nothing's going to come in here and take away what God's given me. I got that choice. And you have that choice too. Fanatics, I don't know. Following a guy that hung on the cross and died for me. You set me free? Is that being fanatic, doing what he says to do? Call me a fanatic. Amen? But through our mouth, guys, what we say has so much power. And God shows in several places. I shared last week with you in Proverbs 18:21. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. So, again, Joe, come up here and punch me in the face. Would I not get punched in the face?
Yeah. Yeah.
Joe would obey me. I'm not telling you, okay? But listen to me. He would. So when you say, I'll never get any better. Would you just speak? Yeah. The living God's in you. Amen. And you take that spirit and you mix it with a word, you're going to get a result. Amen?
Amen?
Why would you ever want to speak that? I mean, we catch ourselves, right, guys? It's easy to start complaining, you know. But when we take every thought captive that the Bible says, as we renew our minds, we'll catch that thought before it gets to our lips. It's one thing to think it, but man, when you speak it out, it's like it's one thing to load a gun. It's nothing to pull that trigger. We need to make sure before you say something, do I really want this to come into existence? Do I really want to speak this into the world? Man, that's how powerful our words are. Life or death, the Lord says. Matthew 12:37 says, for by your word ye shall be justified, and by your word ye shall be condemned. Wow. Again, that's how powerful our words are when we speak them. Psalms 34:13. If you want to turn there, you want to write it down or just listen to on the internet, because I'm going through it kind of quick. I know it's 22 already. But he says, Daryl, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. But also, you know what he says that to Starkey too. Amen. Starkey, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. And folks, when we stand around and we talk against people, man, we are not keeping our tongue from evil. Amen. Just because you know something about somebody doesn't mean you need to share that. Understand that? You say, well, preacher, how about, man, I don't know, this person really needs prayer. Yeah, I just, oh, okay, call me. If you're not sure if it's gossip or not, you call the preacher. You can't gossip to me. Well, you probably could, but if you're really calling for a prayer request, you're not. To sit around and talk about one, we are shooting ourselves in the foot. You're leaving a place for Satan to walk in. You know, God didn't say it. Pappy always said it. If you have something good to say about somebody, don't say it. That's the number one thing that you can go by. Because what you speak, you open that door up. You're letting Satan come in. Proverbs 13:3. The one who guards his mouth preserves his life. And the one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. So I say, man, the one who select the words that you're going to speak. You know, if I came home in an upset mood, we all get upset, right? If I come in the kitchen and Carol says, what do you want for supper? You're going to burn it anyway. You know what's going to happen probably? She's going to burn my supper. Okay. That's that what you really want, Starkey? Okay. Or if I say, well, honey, listen, you know, I know you had a long day. Whatever you want to fix me, it's fine. You know, it's fine. But if you don't put your feet up, you know, we can eat, you know, eggs tonight. Chances are she's going out there and make me my favorite rice and chicken that she makes. Okay? Out of my lips. Because I choose it. My words have power.
Yes.
And that's just a small example of what happens there, you know. Proverbs 21:23. He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from trouble. Again, Proverbs 21:23. He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from trouble. James 1:26. I got a couple more yet and we'll be done, but I just want to get these out here. James 1:26. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man religious is worthless. So if anyone thinks to be a follower of Christ and yet does not bridle his tongue, But he sees his own heart. So again, it's for ourselves and for others. If you think yourself to be a follower of Jesus Christ, but we speak against Jesus Christ, if we speak evil instead of good, we have to watch. You got to check yourself. It doesn't mean today you're saying, oh man, Pastor, you didn't know what I said last week. It slipped out. Well, that's one thing. But folks, if you're constantly, from your lips, is coming words that you should not speak, you have to question your relationship you have with God. Right. Please understand this. I'll close with this. I'll save the others. I'll probably share one more scripture with you. But I'm going to share this with you guys. And it's so important. So lots of places in the Bible says, if we continue to sin, God is not in us. If we continue to seed, the seed of God isn't here because that seed does not sin. Continue to seed. In other words, it says practice. Okay, follow me on this. It's one thing to mess up. Amen? But to continue to sin. He said, well, God's not in there. Because that Holy Spirit will stop you. Or it won't stop you. Let me change that. He will tell you not to say it. Not to do it. But if you continue to do what God said calls a sin, don't tell people that you're a follower of Christ. If you're living in sin today, knowingly living in sin today, you're not a follower of Jesus Christ. Listen to me. Don't be deceived. We'll say, oh, you can't judge people. You can't do this. You can't do that. If you can live in open sin, knowing that God says it's sin, Christ is not in you. Because that Spirit would not let you do that. If you find yourself that way this morning, then you'll find yourself, you're the one that needs to acknowledge Jesus, if you want Him to forgive your sins, to ask Him to forgive your sins and come into your life. And the Holy Spirit will give you the strength to overcome these sins. You'll be so miserable that you either have to give it up or renounce Christ, one of the two. There's no place in the kingdom of God, listen to me, for a lukewarm Christian. You can go to Revelation 3 and read that. I'm not telling you that. Jesus is. Lukewarm doesn't mean you got to be at the church every Sunday, or not every Sunday, but every day of the week. Lukewarm is those who don't speak the Word of God, don't listen to the Word of God, doesn't share the Word of God. That's lukewarm. It doesn't mean you have to be in the church every day serving stuff. You understand what I'm saying? It's a relationship. But if you have no problem today, open your mouth up and you talk about anybody. I don't care if it's an ex-sister-in-law, brother-in-law, anybody. Talk against them. Shut your mouth. That is gossip, says the Lord. And you're bringing His judgment, His wrath upon you and your household. Well, Pastor, what I say is true. I don't care. I'm not telling you. The Word of God tells you that. And for some of us, we're falling short there. We don't have the thing that God wants to give us because we have not shut the door to the evil one. We're letting God come in the front door, but Satan's coming in the back door and the sideways. And God, we need to shut that. A lot of times, in order to shut Satan out, we have to shut our mouths and watch what we're speaking. From your lips, from the words that you speak, man, comes life or death. And the last one is 1 John 3:10. For let him who means to love life and see good days refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking gall. Again, refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking gall. Folks, we've all been done wrong in our lifetime. We've all been done over, and we just, sometimes we wish we get even with Him. But you seek the Lord, He'll give you a forgiveness in your heart. He'll help you close your mouth and be about ready to destroy that person. You know, God is for us. Satan is against us. Jesus, can we celebrate today His triumphant entry into our lives? We invite him into our life. Let him have every part of it. You know, he went to wherever he wanted to in Jerusalem, did he not? He went in places and he kicked over the money exchanger. He went wherever he wanted to. Nobody's going to keep him out. Same way in our lives today. Don't keep him out. Let him have complete control. Keep looking up. He's coming back very soon. And Father, I just want to speak today also into my brothers and sisters' spirit today that it may be uplifting. My God, that through the Holy Spirit, may your word continue to return back to each one of us. And may it continue to lift us up, to strengthen us, to encourage us to go one more day. One more day. That's all we're asking for, Lord. Just one more day as we await your return, that we won't be waiting idly, God. That we'll do what you lay upon our hearts to do, Father. And I ask right now that may your blessing be upon each one. May a hand of grace be over each one. May the needs be met, Father God, that we have. As we give to you, as we go to you, Father God, you promise us that we give to you that to the rich and glory in Christ Jesus, you provide our needs. We see that now, God. Help us understand that. Help us to see our needs being met. Help us close the door on Satan as he tries to come in and steal what you've given us to meet our needs, Father. May your health be upon each one present and within the sound of my voice. And may your word continue to encourage us. And we give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.